Grand Slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Taylor Kemp. He was a professional soccer player, played in the MLS for six seasons with the DC United, had 101 appearances, 95 starts. Even had a call-up to the U.S. men's national team. We'll talk to Taylor about what he's doing now outside of soccer. He does have a degree now in theology, and we'll talk about an Easter message that just may inspire those folks listening. Taylor, welcome to Blessed to Play.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Well, it's great to have you back on, and I know when you leave a sport that you worked so hard your whole life, sometimes it could be a tough transition. You've been out of the game now for a few years, so tell us how it's been not playing soccer professionally.
Off the bat, it's been really great, honestly. Surprisingly, I would say that I'm a lot happier now than I was when I was playing. But it was a big transition for sure. When it's always funny when I meet new people and they ask what my background is, especially because now I work at a Catholic apostolate at Formed. They'll ask, what did you do before this? And I tell them I played professional soccer for 6 years. And a lot of the times their faces kind of get a funny expression and they're like, what? Like, what happened? Where did it all go wrong? And then I get the great privilege of explaining kind of what God has done in my life and how things have drastically changed. But so is my happiness and so is so many other things. So it's been a great blessing.
Now, since your retirement, I know we talked about this in a previous show, but you took that pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, and this was a really eye-opening experience from you, not only the physical component of doing this pilgrimage, but spiritually as well. And I think you made some decisions about your life after making this pilgrimage.
Yeah, that's right. After my fifth season, which was in 2017, I started having some injuries. And then in 2018, it kind of became clear that my retirement was coming. And my wife and I started planning what we were going to do next. And we decided we wanted to go on this pilgrimage because when else are you going to be able to take 6 weeks to go walk through Spain with a backpack? So we took that pilgrimage, and it was definitely a huge transition for us, just recognizing what we wanted to do with our life, what we wanted to do with our marriage, and that we wanted to be more mission-oriented and we wanted to give our lives more directly for God. And, you know, pilgrimages in so many ways are a great analogy for the life of faith. And we felt at that time we were kind of walking along, not sure where we were. We knew the end goal, but we weren't exactly sure where we were going day to day. And we knew we wanted to be saints, but we didn't know how to get there. And we could tell God was taking me out of soccer and taking us out of Washington, D.C., and we weren't sure where he was really taking us. So we felt in our spiritual life, we were just kind of walking along and kind of in an endless way. And then we found ourselves on this pilgrimage where that's literally what you do, you know, for 34 days straight. And it was a really powerful experience. And it was a really, I would say, great period of growth in our faith. And God gave us a lot of direction just about where we wanted to go and kind of the direction that our lives were going to take from there.
So to some of the listeners that may not be familiar with this pilgrimage, you weren't staying in five-star hotels, or maybe you weren't even staying in hotels, and the meals weren't always the greatest, Taylor. So tell us about some of the makeup of going on this pilgrimage and the lack of amenities, if you will.
Yes, that is right. So the Camino de Santiago is, there's many different routes you can go. We did what's called the French Way, and you walk from southern France to the northwest tip of Spain. It's 500 miles, 800 kilometers, and it takes about 34 days. As you're going, you stay in what are called albergues, which are kind of equivalent to hostels today. So you're not roughing it in the sense of you're not sleeping on the streets or, like sleeping outside, mm-hmm. even in tents. You are in a room, but it's typically a big room where there's anywhere from 20 beds to 100 beds. And you're sleeping in there with a bunch of other people who are also all pilgrims walking the Camino. So it's a great opportunity for some camaraderie, and you're doing the same thing, and you really get to know people, which is great. And the food is sometimes it is quite good, but sometimes it's not. And in the smaller towns, it often is definitely not a five-star meal. But you're roughing it in some ways, but I also don't want to paint the picture that it's the most difficult thing ever in terms of, you know, food or lodging. There's actually a great movie that is made called The Way, which Brittany and I watched and kind of really inspired us to go on. But it gives a somewhat fair depiction of the Camino. If people want to learn more, I highly recommend it. We loved it.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer once again chatting with Taylor Kemp. He played six seasons in the MLS, Major League Soccer, with DC United. And when you went on this pilgrimage and you were getting away from the competitive part of soccer, your professional career, did you go through any identity crisis? Or was there's a natural let go of Taylor, the professional soccer player, and going into the next chapter of your life?
Yeah, I mean, huge. And that had been a long process. It was still ongoing, but I had begun that really when I came into the Catholic Church, beginning in 2015, and I came into the church in 2016. I had a huge identity. I don't know if I call it identity crisis, but kind of identity shift, where my whole life had been about becoming a professional soccer player. I really wanted to be successful. I wanted to help my team win. And my whole life was kind of about that. And then it was in the midst of playing professional soccer, and I was, things were going very well. I was an established member of my team. I was getting called up to the national team. Kind of my dreams had been realized, and it was in the midst of that I realized I still wasn't I wasn't as happy as I wanted to be. So it was a struggle, but it was very freeing in many ways.
Yeah, and the word that comes to mind is grace, because I know many professional athletes, when they retire and the music stops, have trouble making that transition from the life of a professional athlete to a life that has the adulations gone and all the competitive nature of life is gone, at least in the sense professionally. Now, you have an 8-month-old daughter now. What is your approach going to be to sports if she's so inclined to play when she gets older?
Oh my God. I won't know that until it happens. That's what my wife keeps telling me, that because I keep telling her, and I think this is true. I don't mind. I would obviously be very happy if she played sports, any sport. I would love it if she played soccer. I would love it if I could coach her. But if she wants to play volleyball, if she wants to play tennis, like I would be thrilled if she played sports. But there's also obviously the chance that she doesn't. We're like wondering, well, what if she loves music, or what if she loves theater, or what if she just loves other things. So I think there's definitely something in me where I really hope that she plays sports, just because that's where so much of my time and thought has been for so many years. But I'm also happy if she does other things. I really don't know how I'll react. I think I'll be nice, calm, cool, and collected on the sidelines, not worried about it or getting too wrapped up in it. But I know myself well enough that I'm not sure that will be the case when the time comes. I hope it will be, but like all parents, and it's easy to say, I just want my daughter to be happy, and I want her to care passionately about things in her life, whether that's sports, school, music, whatever it may be. I just want her to care and love God far more than those things. So I guess my goal is to instill that in her first, and then also help her like really passionately put her talents or gifts to use for the greater good of winning in many ways, but under also not ever losing sight of the most important thing, which is friendship through sports and fair play. But of course, God coming first in her life.
Yes, indeed. And maybe 10 years from now, if this show is still running, we'll have you and your daughter on, and we'll have a before and after and see how everybody's progressing, both father and daughter.
You can ask her if I've lived up to my word today. Hey, is Dad nice and calm on the sidelines? And she'll sell me out if that's not the case, I'm sure.
No, if he's not, we're just going to have to break out the red card. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, chatting today with Taylor Kemp. Six seasons in the Major League Soccer, got a call up even with the U.S. national team, and now is doing something that I don't think you would expect a Major League Soccer player to do or has done, and that is to get a degree in theology, in fact, a postgraduate degree, a master's degree, this time from the Augustine Institute. Tell us what led you on that path to pursue a theological degree.
Yeah, so I was in, when I was coming into the church, I went through RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. to receive confirmation. And I had a really great RCIA teacher. We were at St. Peter's on Capitol Hill. Our teacher is a Dominican priest who now teaches in Rome. His name is Father Thomas Joseph White, and he was just a really wonderful teacher. And I didn't really grow up with too much of a faith education. And so when I heard him teaching, it was a lot of things I had just never heard before. And it kind of opened up a whole new world of thought for me. And I also studied business, so I hadn't studied philosophy even. And so I was just learning a lot about who God is, but also what the human person is, what marriage is, what we're made for, why we're here. And I had never heard anyone teach about these things or teach as he did. And it really just impacted me. Obviously, I came into the church. And so a lot of these things really kind of just changed my thought. And obviously, the grace of the Holy Spirit was working in that. But anyways, while I was going through this, it was soon after that I kind of started to love to learn about God and theology. And I just started ordering a bunch of books off of Amazon. And some of them were good and some of them were terrible. And I was just kind of randomly shooting and started reading a ton. And I fell in love with learning about theology in particular. And I had some good friends at the time that knew that it's very easy to find bad books on theology. And so they're like, hey, you should look at some guided learning. And through some providential twists and turns, found the Augustine Institute because they had a distance ed program and an amazing reputation. And so I signed up. I was still playing soccer at the time. I had no plans on not. I was still healthy and things were going well. And then once I started getting heard and eventually moved home, I finished my degree up here. But I really just fell in love with theology. And the Augustine Institute just fueled that in so many ways. The graduate school, the professors here are unbelievable. I mean, I felt like every single class changed a lot about me, like the way I lived my life and the way I thought. It inspired me to want to teach, which I did for a short while before coming to work at Formed. But it was great. I mean, I was surprised at how much joy I had from learning about Christ and the Old Testament and the New Testament and philosophy and the catechism and all the incredible subjects that they offer here.
And you were really part of a class of people that was so much different than your professional career. You're hanging in the locker room with these guys talking soccer, the media, and now you're with a bunch of theology students. So that's quite a contrast in two different lifestyles.
Yeah, it certainly. And it's actually been a space that I've quite enjoyed living in. So when I was still playing, while I was going to the Augustine Institute graduate school and I was still playing, I, to no surprise, started Bible studies and started doing a lot of work with my teammates. And I really loved trying to take what I was learning, which was more academic by nature, and making it understandable for my teammates and, you know, kind of presenting the gospel in such a way that they could understand. And to this day, it's one of my favorite things to do. I mentioned that I like to teach, but more often than not, the ways that I'm trying to teach are not in a classroom setting as much, but are more with just anybody, people that are working at accounting firms, people who are lawyers, people who are athletes, people who are just kind of in the world and they're interested, but they don't know where to go. That's kind of like my favorite space to live. And I feel like it's a great blessing or gift from God that I live so much of my life in the secular landscape and in such a different setting with the locker room. And then I got this kind of academic, really kind of incubator style Catholic theology education. So I love that. I mean, I love being in the place where you're taking the great truths of the gospel and making it so that people can get it from any, you know, range of background or education.
All right, we're going to step aside. I'm going to ask Taylor to put on his theologian hat when we talk about some of the Easter themes that are upon us, the Easter virtues, faith, hope, even new life. We'll get Taylor's perspective on that when Blessed to Play returns after this.
God, I hope with complete trust that you will give me, through the merits of Jesus Christ, all the necessary grace in this world and everlasting life in the world to come. For this is what you have promised, and you always keep your promises. Amen.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Taylor Kemp. He played 6 years in Major League Soccer for DC United. He even got a call-up with the U.S. Men's National Team. He had 101 appearances, 95 starts. I think one of his goals made a highlight reel on ESPN. I think he took a volley from deep and put in the back of the net. So he very well was immersed in professional career as a soccer player. Then received a theology degree from the Augustine Institute. He's also involved now as a platform manager for an organization called Formed. We're going to talk more about that. Taylor, Easter is upon us. It's a sign of new life. This has been a tough year for everyone, and everyone knows why. But this Easter message that Christ brings us through the resurrection offers us hope. So let's talk about hope. Why should we have hope that Christ died, resurrected? What is the hope for humanity through that message?
Yeah, well, I guess the best place to start is the unique claim of Christianity is that it's a historical religion. And as Paul says in Corinthians, that our entire hope, our entire faith rests on the truth of the resurrection, that an actual man who was the Son of God lived, died, and then defeated death. He descended into the realm of the dead. He destroyed death, and then he came out on the other side alive, never to die again. And that is going to address like the fundamental fear that every single person has of death. And so our hope as Christians is that our life will continue beyond death, that we can know through the light of faith that beyond that dark door of death, that there is life. And that is also the risen life of Christ, being he's still alive in heaven today, of course, that can be lived out in our lives still today through smaller death, which is really what much of Lent is about. But it's such an important message. I think it's important, especially, you know, today in 2021, 2020 was a hard year with COVID. And in many ways, COVID brought death very much into the thought and landscape and personal experience of many people. And so I actually think that 2020 gives us much reason as Christians to reflect on our lives and be reminded of why we call the gospel the good news, that death does not put an end to all things, that there is hope to see those that we love, and that there is reason to live a life of faith today. And that is also a challenge to Christians in many ways, that, you know, Christians in many ways are constituted, are called to be lights in a time such as this. They're always called to be lights, of course, but especially in a time when death and difficulty and suffering and struggle is very present, as it was last year, that I think a great challenge is put on Christians to live as a people with hope, as a people with faith and love, who are not going to be completely dominated or completely conquered by the fear of death, because that is exactly what we have been freed from.
Now, I'd like to pick up on that theological virtue of hope and suffering like you talked about. So how do we make sense or give meaning to the suffering we're going through and add that element of hope to it?
Right. So the great, you could even say scandal, stumbling block, but the great kind of conundrum of Christianity is that the Son of God in his love came out and he poured himself out in death in order to destroy death and give us new life. And so when you're talking about suffering, and as Christians, as Catholics, we talk about redemptive suffering and uniting our suffering to the cross of Christ. All that means is that when we are facing struggle and pain in this life, which we say is a consequence of the fall, obviously it was never meant to be this way, which is why it troubles us so much, that we can take our smaller sufferings and difficulties, the death of a loved one, our own personal sickness, whatever it may be, depression, anxiety, any of these things, and we can look to the cross and see that the God who revealed himself in Christ, that he went there first, that he took upon himself all of the pain and all of the struggling and all of the suffering, and he redeems it. He gives it meaning. That really is one of the central kernels of the Christian faith, is that suffering has meaning, because in many ways, suffering is the most senseless thing that there is. Like, what is the point of it? It's just misery. There's nothing good about that suffering. But Christianity says, no, that's not true. That suffering can redeem, that suffering has been redeemed, which means that your suffering too can participate in Christ's redemption. And so it can be offered. One of the things that I'm thinking about is St. John Paul II wrote a letter to the elderly. And one of the messages that he said to them is, don't waste your suffering. That your life has not lost its meaning, and that if you're just waiting to die, he's saying that can still be put at the service of Christ's mission, and that it can work to the good of many, many people. And so that is a message of hope, in that if you find yourself suffering, that suffering is not meaningless. It can be united to the cross of Christ, and it can bring about a great spiritual good for the people that we know, or for the world, or whatever it is that we can offer it for.
Yeah, some great words there. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again chatting with Taylor Kemp, former Major League Soccer player, now theologian, Masters of Theology, and we're talking about some virtues associated with Easter. And I want to talk about faith, because, Taylor, there's so many belief patterns out there, and we could spend hours talking about them, not only different religions, but different ways of thinking that so on and so forth can improve your life, as the authors would say, who derive that source of spirituality or inspiration. But what is the fundamental way of having faith? How should we approach faith? And if we can't see it, how can we believe it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question that has many theologians have been answering along the way. But I've always liked that faith principally is a form of trust, because it's easy to confuse faith with just a mental assent to a certain set of beliefs, which it is that in part. So Christianity presents a certain amount of things to believe, and you can say, yes, I believe those are, and you can do that for any religion or kind of life motto. But really the key element to faith is an entrustment. It is a trust in what you are believing. It's looking to the things that are proclaimed by the gospel and saying, not only do I assent to that, not only do I believe that as an idea, but I give my life to that truth, which is a trust. You have to take a step there. You know, you say the leap of faith, that you are trusting almost in an assumption. You are trusting in something that you cannot see. And you kind of offer your life, and you say, I put my life to the test of the claims of what this is. And the claim of the Christian faith is that your life is meant to be united to the Son of God so as to live forever in heaven in him, united to all of the other people that follow that same path. And so for us here on earth, what this means is saying, I truly give myself to that. I offer my life for that. And so that's, you know, lived out in many ways. I would say principally that is in prayer. Prayer is the place where you enter into friendship with God, and prayer is the place where you first and foremost sacrifice your time so as to entrust yourself. Because if you're giving your time to something, you are living out in some way, I trust what this promises. You know, like for work, I spend a lot of my time working, and you are saying, like, I am giving myself to the promise that this is good for my life and good for the life of others, and it allows me to provide for my family. But in the biggest way, when we pray, we give ourselves, we give our time to God, and we say, I trust that even though I cannot see you, you kind of come to the place to ask God, to beg God, to say, help me to give over more of myself to you.
Yeah. And let's talk about you're a platform manager of an organization called Forum that has streaming content provided by Catholic organizations to spiritually nourish you and inspire you. Can you talk a little bit about Formed and your involvement with it?
Yeah, so Formed is under the Augustine Institute, which is where the graduate school that I went to. And Formed was started about 6 years ago. And the idea behind it was, faith content is needed everywhere. We're living in an increasingly digitalized age, digital age. And so the faith needs a larger presence there. And so Dr. Tim Gray, who started the Augustine Institute, started Formed. And on Formed is this place where you can access just so much, whether it's sacramental catechesis and preparation or teaching, Bible studies, inspirational talks, movies about the saints, kids shows, family shows, all different kinds of things. And you can access it. And really, the goal with so much of this is to provide tools for the parish to be able to better catechize people. But in many ways, it's supposed to build up the domestic church too. Formed is just a really great resource and tool for parishes and individuals to grow in their faith.
Taylor, real quick, in our remaining moments, is there a website the folks listening could go to learn more about Formed?
Yep, just formed.org. You can just Google Formed Catholic. That would probably be the easiest one, or you can just type in formed.org. A lot of the times parishes will offer Formed free to their parishioners, and so you can typically either ask your pastor or look in the bulletin or website, and there will be a code. Or you can just go to formed.org/signup, and from there, you can just type in your parish or your zip code and see if your parish offers a form subscription for what the church is kind of putting in front of us today.
Yeah, very good. Well, Taylor Kemp has been our guest. Quite a soccer player, folks. 6 seasons in the MLS and then decided to pursue a spiritual degree, a master's degree in theology, and now is using it with his work with Formed. So go check that out. Taylor, thanks so much. It's always a joy to talk with you, and I hope we could do it again, maybe with your daughter next time. We'll see how that goes. Thanks for coming on Blessed to Play.
Thank you so much, Ron. It was great.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You could like us on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Taylor Kemp, I'm Ron Meyer. We'll catch you next time right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.